Helaman chapter 9. So five men run to confirm the words or the prophecy that Nephi has given them concerning the death of the chief judge. And they say that if it's true, then they will believe that he is indeed a prophet. And notice from this we see that the signs given by a prophet or their prophecies can be extremely particular and in the near future to be, again, a strong sign. But this is not necessarily always the case, but we see that it can be. And so they go and they confirm that he's a prophet. And again, here, remember, he was the head of the church, and they were not... saying that just because he's the head of the church, he's a prophet, he must prove that he's a prophet. And we begin to see here the elements of prophets are only prophets when they prove they're prophets, not just because someone says they are. We have to also know that after these five go there, they then believe. Well, that kind of also means that the fact that they were running there and everything meant that they were... they were already being prepared by the Spirit. And when they get there and they do see that it's true, they fall to the earth. And why? Because they're worried about their sins. Well, we'll see at the end that this does not convert them. They're actually converted when they go to prison. And when they're sitting in prison, because what happens, these five are taken or claimed to be the murderers. But they're taken to prison. We have to just finish that portion of the story to understand them. We see that, again, it's not these great things that happen in the falling to the earth that convert you and cause you to repent and purify you. All that is it happens to you because you are transitioning from focusing on on the world to focusing on yourself and on the Lord and things like that. Your mind just takes, it completely goes off of everything in the world and just begins to focus on yourself or on the Lord, whichever is the case. In this case, they were focusing on their self and their own sins, which was their beginning to understand then what they need to do to be converted and to repent. Well, then other people come and they find the five laying there, and they say in verse 8, "These men are they who have murdered the judge, and God has smitten them that they could not flee from us." Notice that. These people don't only believe in God. They believe that God manifests himself, and he's their protector, and he helps them, and so on and so forth. Now, we have to then say, where are we today? We have these same sort of beliefs, and we don't see the great manifestations of God in our lives, but we believe in him, we claim to, and if something like this happened, we might attribute it to God. These people were in the same state. Again, we wanted to act like this, oh, because they've all began to support the Gadian robbers. They're a bunch of terrible people, and they really want to have, and they don't believe in the Ten Commandments, and so on and so on. But that's not what it said, and we've already explained how they supported the Gadian robbers, and it's even as today. Even as the good church members do, that's how they were. They believed in God and everything. They just had their eyes upon the world. Well, anyway, this is given to us as a sign to see that this is exactly talking about our day. Well, the next day, the people gather together, and they gather to mourn and to fast the great chief judge. Now notice the word great chief judge. See, now they're starting to elevate man, and oh, we need to mourn and fast for this great man. You know, they don't fast to come unto God or anything, but notice they're fasting. See, they're doing the things that the Lord said. See, they believe in all the things that the members of the church do. But see, their problem is they're elevating man. And how many times you hear about what a great bishop you have and what a great state president. See, they start elevating man. And this is giving you further signs that you are exactly, today, the members of the church are exactly the ones that are being talked about here. And again, this Book of Mormon is written to us, those who this book was delivered to tell you of your iniquity, not the iniquity of the rest of the world. You are falling into these same traps, and we've seen that right back. This seems to repeat over and over again. It's We're much like the people of Ammonihah and other places, and these are all having different characteristics of us to try and wake us up. But no one wants to wake up. They always want to point the finger at someone else. Well, then as they're doing this, and they're all gathered together, they began to ask about the five, and they find out that they thought that these were the ones that they'd claimed were the murderers. And so they bring them forth, and they recount everything that happens. Well, now they don't have the murderer, so the Gadianton robbers, they all claim, well, see, this is a trick of Nephi. Now, who was there gathering to fast and mourn? See, even the Gadianton robbers, they didn't just take power and control over the government, they took it over the church and everything. They wanted power and control over all things, and so they were right there leading the mourning and fasting. And so they say, well, this is a trick by Nephi, and he is a conspirator. Again, just we've seen today, we watched a leader of the church today started to set us up that when the Lord brings forth signs through other men, then we're not to believe them unless they come forth by the leaders themselves and the men that already set themselves up and that's what's going on here, and they claim that Nephi then is a conspirator, and they claim that the reason he is because it's Nephi's desire to be, and we're in verse 16, a great man chosen of God and a prophet. And notice that clearly. Why are they accusing him of that? Because they're claiming that that's what you need to be to gain, as it says over here, power over the people. So obviously they were doing the same thing, exactly as the leaders of the church today to do. That's what's in their hearts. They don't speak by the word of God. He didn't say that the word of God has told me this, just like a leader today. He just surmises it, and he makes his own statement because he is a leader. And that's what, and so, we get the feel that the usurpation of the power and authority by the Gadianton robbers just wasn't in the government. It was of the church. It was over all things, everywhere where they could get power. And now here it says they recognize that the desires not of only their heart, but the desires of the people. See, remember where they like to put men up on the pedestal because they think of themselves being up there, and they get and it builds their own pride because it's their own desires. And what are then the desires of the people? To be a great man, a prophet, and chosen of God. And is that not what our leaders of the church claim today? But do they claim to be prophets? They do not prophesy. They claim to be chosen, but they're only through the administrative processes. They do not talk of knowing God and how God chose them. Again, and they claim and like to point each other and point to themselves as being great men. And that was the intent of their heart, and so they accuse of that of Nephi, because also it's the intent of the people's heart, so they will receive that kind of a lie. And again, this is an extreme foreshadowing of today. It was written for us today, and it's for us to see that we today are exactly in this situation, and it is talking about the leaders of the church as being part of the Gadianton robbers. Well, it says in verse 17-18 that the five then rebuke the chief judges. In fact, they confound them, which means that there was lots of other evidence here to make it absolutely conclusive proof that Nephi was not the murderer. But they don't want to hear all that stuff. They're only interested in putting down this man because he's a threat to their power and authority, just like when men come forth preaching out of the Book of Mormon. It brings down the power and authority of the leader of the church. They don't want to hear that. Well, then therefore they offer him money. Again, that's their desire. They think they desire money. They think money is more important than God and everything else, even though they turned around here and said they were fasting and mourning and they had values to be chosen of God, and God had helped them, even though they professed all these things. They really care about money, so they try and offer him money. Well, that's a lot. It's the same today. I mean, it's the same sort of thing. If some great murderer came and we could unfold this the conspiracy of this murder, that would be really important to find out why we killed the President of the United States. So if we could give this guy money, it would be well worth the money to find out the truth, as they claim. But what they're really doing is they're trying to bribe him. They're saying nothing really happened to you. We'll give you this money if you'll tell a lie and say that you did it. See, that's what they were trying to do. And again, that was because money, they think, as today, they think that money can buy anything. Well, Nephi obviously didn't do that. And again, we see that they think that they try and twist the truth, but they don't get at the truth by the Spirit. Again, they don't believe in the Spirit. So Nephi rebukes them, and he gives them another sign. He tells them who the real murderer is. And so therefore, they go to the real murderer. The real one confesses clearly. And not only that, it says in verse 38, he proves that Nephi is innocent. So by how he confesses and what he says, it absolutely proves that Nephi is innocent. And why was he doing that? Because he wanted to confess before God. He wanted to do the best he could to get himself cleansed of this terrible act. And again, why? Because again, these people are still giving lip service to God, and they still claim to be members of the church and all. And so all of a sudden now when it happened, this guy begins to see what he's done. We don't know how he rationalized what he'd done, but that's not important. What's important now is that he indeed makes some attempt at repentance. And so he confesses. Well, the thing is that only some believe, and that's the important thing, that only a few believe. But the some that do believe say that he is a prophet, and that he has proved he is a prophet. Being a prophet is something that we don't all raise our hands and agree, yes, this man's a prophet, and that makes him a prophet. A prophet's a prophet because he acts, and he proves that he's a prophet. And by these acts, then some said, yes, see, we can see that he is indeed a prophet. Even though, again, who was Nephi? He was the head of their church, and he had been the head of their government. Notice that, nonetheless, he now still has to prove that he's a prophet, and that is a requirement. Well, notice also that others say that he is a god, and how sad. Again, we see that even those that look to him, they are still having the problems of man and pride, meaning they want to elevate man. They want to take these men and bring them up, put them up there with God. And so we see this great, the great pride of men that was within their society.